Hello, everyone. Welcome to Nothing But Now, Mindful Living with me, Dr. Mary Angela McGuire, on Transformation Talk Radio. During this show, I'll help you practice mindfulness. Most of the principles of mindfulness are very simple, but putting those principles into practice can be devilishly difficult. I'm here to help you become a student of your own mind. I'll share ideas, insights, and tools you can use to release yourself from fearful and negative thinking and live from a place of clarity and confidence. Please join me as we challenge ourselves to change. Nothing But Now starts now. Angela McGuire, and this is Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. Thanks for joining me. Our topic today is the habit of judgment. So in our practice of becoming students of our own minds, one of the things we're doing is noticing where our mind typically goes. And if you're anything like me, your mind often goes to a place of judgment. So that's what we're here to talk about today. I want to start with a story of something that happened to me both several years ago and then again today. I had the great opportunity several years ago to live and work in Europe for about 6 months, and we were able to travel quite a bit. And a kind of a theme emerged on our trip. Whether we were in Prague or Vienna, or we would notice that we'd be going from, you know, one beautiful church to a beautiful museum to a beautiful palace, and we often, we walked everywhere. I just need to point that out. We'd overshoot our destination over and over again. And finally, we started saying to each other, my travel companion and I, things in Europe are much closer together than they appear on a map, until we got to Bucharest, Romania. So Bucharest was built in part by a dictator, and the result is that it is filled with enormous buildings and very long, very wide boulevards. So once again, we were trekking from one end of the city to the other, when the skies opened up and a torrential rain that lasted for a very long time. We were trekking up a hill. We were in the city, but there was nothing around really. There was a park on one side of the street and houses on another, so no place to come in out of the rain. And I finally reached a point. Now, I had an umbrella. I had a rain jacket on, but this was a lot of rain. And I finally called out to my companion, even my backside, let's say, is wet. I was so angry. I was miserable in that moment. I was mad at my companion because we had to walk everywhere, and that was sort of her idea, I felt. I was mad because we'd been warned off taking taxis because they weren't always safe. I was mad that it was raining. I was mad at myself. I was mad at the world. And I was kind of missing out on Bucharest at the same time. I thought of that this morning when I was out on a walk with my partner. Like many of you, I am staying home as much as possible in order to stay safe. So those daily walks are really important to my mental health, to my physical well-being, to my sense of still having a life right outside of my home. And we skipped yesterday's walk because it was raining. So today, it was drizzling. It was really no more than a drizzle. And I put on a jacket, and it wasn't particularly cold out, unlike Bucharest. So I thought, well, it'll be okay. So we went out. We got about 20 minutes from the house in a light drizzle. And yes, the skies opened up. And I had the lived body experience of understanding the difference between a rain-resistant jacket and what is that called? Rain-resistant versus rain-proof, or waterproof versus water-resistant. My jacket was merely water-resistant. And I was soaked through and through. And at one point, I had this thought, you know, and I said this to my partner, I'm not going to melt. I mean, yes, of course, I'm made of sugar and spice, but truly, I am not going to melt in this. It wasn't, and I think this is really important when we think about judgment, it wasn't that I said, isn't this glorious? I'm out in the world and I'm getting wet, soaked through, and isn't that a lovely thing? No, I wasn't thrilled to be getting wet. I simply was not judging it. It was simply, yes, this is my reality at this moment. I'm getting pretty wet. I'm 20 minutes from home. Let's go. So that's what we're going to talk about today, is this idea of what does it mean to bring what Jonathan Fauss calls non-judging awareness to our daily life. But in order to do that, we have to talk about the habit of judgment first. But before we do anything else, we're going to breathe. So As we did last week, we're going to take three deep breaths, and a couple of things I want to point out about that before we start. So first, it's great to take a deep inhalation and then hold it just briefly at the top before you exhale. And a second thing is to try to let that exhalation be even longer, take more time than the inhalation. And one way to do that is simply to count. You might count to three or four on the way in, and then at least five, right? Or four or five on the way out. And then the other thing, of course, first breath. We pay attention only to the sensation of the breath entering and exiting our body. Breath two, we notice any place in our body where we feel tension and we relax. And then breath three, we set our intentions for this moment. What do we need right now? So let's get started. First breath, pay attention to our breath. Second breath, relax any place you feel tension. Third breath, set your intention for this moment. There we go. You want to breathe normally. You want to maybe roll your shoulders or wiggle your fingers and toes. And most of all, you might rub your hands together. My hands are cold, so I'm going to rub them together to feel warm and mostly to feel present in my body and present in the moment. So, the habit of judgment, that's our focus today. Last week, we talked about this whole process of becoming students of our own minds so that we can notice places our mind typically goes throughout the day. And in order to practice this larger idea of mindfulness. So again, what is mindfulness? It's bringing our attention to the present moment without judgment. Easier said than done, right? So the challenge, of course, with mindlessness, the opposite of mindfulness, when we're mindless, our thoughts may take us away, right? They may carry us away into anxieties and fears about the future or into a kind of rabbit hole down the past. Or maybe our thoughts make us so anxious and fearful that we stuff down the feelings that come with us, with them, and then we try to distract ourselves from those feelings. And that can result in, you know, mindless eating, mindless TV watching, mindless work, mindless drug and alcohol use, things that may not be of much help to us or not in our best interest, but that at least give us some momentary, temporary relief from those feelings. So that's what I suggested last week. You might try a couple of strategies to become more aware of mindless thinking. And one idea was in order to become a student of your own mind. So I hope you might have found one or two routine practices that you engage in during the weekday that you can use to practice mindfulness. You can, in other words, quiet your mind. You can gently bring your mind back when it inevitably wanders. You can bring it back to the present moment. And then maybe afterwards, you can reflect on and ask yourself, when my mind wandered, where did it typically go? Another strategy was to put a couple of alarms on your watch or your phone or your computer to ask yourself to stop a couple of times during the day and ask two questions. What is my mind doing? And how do I feel in my body? And again, a low-risk strategy for paying attention to, for noticing what habits of mind that you experience day in and day out. One of the things that I've noticed, or one of the habits I've noticed in my life that I've become quite aware of in these practices, is that I tend to go towards judgment. That judgment about myself, judgment about the people around me, judgment about my environment. You know, I can be making the bed and really working on that mindfulness practice. And as my mind wanders away, where does it go? Well, maybe it reminds me of an argument that I've had with a sibling in the past. And I start thinking about all the ways in which he was wrong, or that maybe, I don't know, possibly I was wrong. And I can get really ground down in those feelings. Or maybe I'm putting the alarm on my clock, and once in a while it stops during the day. And I noticed over time as I did that activity, how often I was in a place of judgment and how it felt in my body, the tension, the turmoil all around me. And I really noticed it one day when all I did was stub my toe. And you know what I thought? You idiot, why aren't you more careful? Right? I couldn't have an experience as simple as stubbing my toe or dropping a glass without that immediate, fierce, negative thought about myself. So Last week, we talked about this idea that we are not our thoughts, right? That this unceasing habit of negative judgments, that's the voice of the critic, the doubter, the dictator, or in my case, the rather large diva bellowing for attention, right? And that our authentic self is the self that is watching and listening to that turmoil, that frustration, and that anger. So we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the difference between kind of mindful judgment, because judging is a human capacity that all of us are capable of and need, versus mindless judging that gets in the way of our happiness in our lives. I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and you're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
What would you do with the power of community? How do you create your own rituals? Tune in to Living Your Gifts with me, Susan Huff, Ancient Applications for Modern Times, the second Wednesday of each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Our lives begin with the stories we are told and the stories we tell ourselves. Storytelling is the key. To learn more about me, visit livingyourgifts.com. That's livingyourgifts.com.
The Knowledge Book, currently studied in 39 countries and 15 languages around the world, accelerates our evolution, takes us out of depression, offers universal truth, protects us, and makes us stronger, both spiritually and physically. So if you are interested in the Knowledge Book, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net and tune in to the Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasik on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
It's time to get your life back on Burn Bright Today with Jennifer Marcinelli. Tune in each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn to move from the darkness of burning out to the light of burning bright. Jennifer is redefining stress and the energetic causes of burnout, shining a light on process to get your life back. For more information about Jennifer and her work, visit burnbrighttoday.com.
We remember a time when you could simply form a thought and it would manifest. The harmony was forgotten, but it is returning now. The Power of Inspiration and Awakening Radio with Julia Griffin on TransformationTalkRadio.com each second and fourth Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific will take you on adventures through the heart and spirit, exploring who we once were. This intuitive healer studied under the guidance of wolves, learning from their wisdom to master a higher frequency for a new state of mind. Visit OneTrueSelf.com.
Coming to you live on TransformationTalkRadio.com is the Brilliance Ultimatum, Time's Up with Claudette Rowley. Powerful conversations, practical innovations, and transformative solutions as Claudette and her guests delve into the possibilities and what she calls reality resistance. Join the cultural revolution and annihilate obstacles. Check it out at culturalbrilliance.com.
How do you feel? Just okay? Well, how about you tune in and get ready to be more with The Healing Hour with me, Doc Martin, every third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I'm ready for your questions, and I can't wait to help you find the answers. Every month, we'll have a new live call-in show with innovative topics and a powerful hour of healing. To learn more about me, visit DrSharonMartin.com. See you there. I'm going to be here. You won't want to miss it.
Hi, everyone. I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and this is Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. Thanks for joining me today. Our topic is the habit of judgment. And as I was saying before the break, judgment is, of course, something that all humans do. It's an essential capacity for making our way through the world. But what we're focusing on today in this segment is mindless judgment, the kind that gets in our way. It blocks access to our essential self. It causes suffering in our lives. I've noticed in my work as a life coach that the biggest breakthrough that clients typically have early on is when they become aware of just how much negative judgments dominate their everyday thinking process. Whenever I think about the word judgment, I have to be honest with you, I think about my mom. I'll tell a million stories about my mom in the course of these podcasts, but she was an essential teacher to me. She was a wonderful human being, and she is a person who suffered with judgment. She suffered because she felt that the world judged her very harshly, particularly in her adult life. But she was also a person who was capable of making a lot of judgments about herself and the other people in her world and the world around her in general. A funny story about her habit of judgment. My mom was a nurse. And when I was a teenager, she got a job at a residential school in where we lived that was run by the Sisters of Good Shepherd. And it was a school where teenage girls were sent by the courts when they came from very troubled homes. So the school obviously was run by nuns. And my mother had been raised Catholic. So in a sense, these were very much her people on the one hand. She had been baptized in the church. She, through most of her childhood and early adulthood, had gone to mass twice a week. She'd been educated in Catholic elementary school and high school, and even her nurse's training was through a Catholic hospital. Of course, my siblings and I were all baptized in the church. She was married in the church, but she very much felt abandoned by the church after my father left and after their subsequent divorce. So there was a kind of healing in coming back to working with these nuns who were doing work that she really admired and respected. And they loved her. She was probably in her mid-40s at the time, and they were all in their late 70s, early 80s. So she brought an interesting kind of enthusiasm and energy to her work. She had a great sense of humor. She was a lot of fun to be around. And one nun in particular, Sister Priscilla, liked to come down to the clinic during the day and help my mom with her work and seeing the students. And they would often take field trips together, which was basically going to the pharmacy to pick up a prescription for one of the students. So I always like to say that I learned to swear not from my four older brothers, but from riding in the car with my mother when she was driving. And it turns out that having a nun in the passenger seat really didn't do anything to modify her behavior. My mother had basically an unkind word and a swear word for every driver who cut her off or slammed on the brakes too quickly or was too slow out of the gate when the light turned green. Then there was a day she was with Sister Priscilla, and somebody cut her off, and she let him have it. And Sister Priscilla gently put her hand on my mom's arm, and she said to her, "You know, dear, he can't hear you, but I can." And I think of that story when I think of our minds filled with judgment. We're like my mom in the car, right? Judgment all around us, negative assessments of everything and everyone we see. And there's our essential self, right? Sister Priscilla, watching and witnessing the turmoil, the unhappiness, the fear that is inside of us when we're caught up in that kind of mindless judgment. So I want to talk about what is judgment. And I always like to straighten my glasses before I give a dictionary definition. So because as I said before, not all judgment is bad. We have to have judgments in our lives, right? That's part of our human capacity, and it's essential for getting through certain parts of our life. So judgment, according to the dictionary, the ability to make considered decisions or come to sensible conclusions. Make considered decisions or come to sensible conclusions. So what do we do when we make considered decisions or come to sensible conclusions? What's the activity of that? Well, we gather information, right? We look for evidence. We even evaluate the sources of evidence. Is this a legitimate, credible source, or is this some nut job, right? We think about the logic of something. If I make this decision and I follow this path, what might happen as a consequence? If I take the other road, right? What might happen if I go along this path? So it's a complex activity. It's something that takes a lot of energy. Think of the critical thinking skills involved to make a considered decision or draw a sensible conclusion. That's a lot of work. When we buy a car, when we accept a job offer, when we decide to buy a house, some aspects of, you know, even pursuing a relationship, there's love, there's lust, there's also logic, right? Even in that. So we can and we should be, and we do, right? We talk about people as having good judgment because they do a good job of making considered decisions or drawing sensible conclusions. But when is it that we're not making essential judgments, but we are simply instead in this mindless habit of judging? So when I was in graduate school, like many people when they're in graduate school, I had the opportunity to teach classes. But then later, when I was getting my PhD, my advisor offered me the opportunity to work for her. And it was not a very glamorous job. It was basically a clerical job. She and another faculty member from another school were the co-directors of a national philosophical association. Those were some clever, fabulous meetings. They were actually very lovely people, but not much for partying, but really nice and really smart. So my job was to help the annual conference get set up and run, and also to help them with a publication that they did every couple of years that came out of the conference. So I have vivid memories of the first time I went to the conference. Her co-director of the organization was there with his graduate student, and she was going to be leaving this work to me. So I spent a lot of time with her, and that very first morning, we'd stayed, you know, in adjoining rooms upstairs in the hotel, and we got on the elevator, or probably on the 15th floor, and we started going down, and she's telling me everything I need to know, and every once in a while, the car comes to a stop, and people get on the elevator, and I realized my first thought every time was, is this person with the conference or not with the conference? So honestly, gray hair, rumpled suit with the conference. Polyester suit or a pink suit or really sharply dressed, probably not with the conference. So we keep going down. We stop at one floor. A person gets on. Doc Martens, black jeans, leather jacket. About an hour later, I walked into the ballroom where 500 philosophers were gathered to see the person who was the rock star of the moment in modern continental philosophy, Judith Butler. And here she walked up on stage in Doc Martens, black jeans, and a leather jacket. I'd been that close to her in an elevator. And I had no idea because my judgment was faulty and it was also useless. Really? What was the point? So I want you to think about either an experience like that that you've had where your judgment was just automatic, judging, and then you find yourself completely wrong in some conclusion that you've drawn, right? Or where are the places in your life where you notice that your judging mind is kind of in overdrive? I think one that happens a lot for people, maybe a little bit more for women than for men, given our cultural and social norms, is the wedding. So last time I went to a wedding, I was really lucky. It was my nephew's wedding. He married a wonderful person. It wasn't an enormous affair. So their closest friends were there, their closest family members. It was an absolutely joyous occasion. I met lots of people at the wedding. I got to watch my brother and sister-in-law just beaming. They were so happy for their son and for his bride. And we had a great time. And not every wedding is like that, right? You ever been to a wedding where you know maybe the bride or the groom, maybe not both, you don't know their families, you may not know their friends, you have a very distant, and I'm moving myself out because, right, you get into the room where we're having dinner and you're way at the other side because you are not at the center of this event. So where does your mind go? Well, I think in our culture, the way we think about weddings, it's all about judgment. To be at a wedding is like to be at a judgment fest, right? Well, do you think the best man was drunk? Because that, you know, that toast was really weird. What do you think they paid for these dinners? Because my chicken wasn't really very well cooked. And I like the flowers, but, you know, the centerpiece, it's too tall. Not that I necessarily want to talk to the person on the other side of the table, but even if I wanted to, I couldn't. What are we doing? And so if I go back to the definition of judgment and I say it's a considered opinion, right, or a considered decision, it's a reasoned opinion. It's drawing a conclusion based on evidence, et cetera. What's the decision I'm trying to make when I'm evaluating a wedding? What's the decision I'm trying to make? Now, in my example with the conference, I really thought for some reason that I needed to know who all of these people were and whether or not I was in a sense beholden to them as somebody who was going to help organize the conference, right? But that's a little bit crazy, if you ask me, or crazy is a terrible word to use, and I apologize. It's ridiculous. It's a poor use of my energy. And it's something that I want to get a hold of and say, when am I caught up in this kind of mindless judging that does no one any good? Not me and not the people around me. So we're going to take a break. And when we come back, I'm going to talk about a very specific strategy that I've used to try to get a hold of this habit. And then we're going to talk about some of the consequences of that. So I'm Mary Angela McGuire. You're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio.
Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharged phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today. Or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Did you know you already have everything you need to live a vibrant and powerful life? Who you are and how extraordinary your life is affected more by your mindset than anything else. Tune in live each week to Vibrant Powerful Moms, Mondays, 3:30 Pacific, 6:30 Eastern, to join host Debbie Pokornik as she shares tips, stories, and interviews with enlightened guests to help you create an extraordinary life. For more information, visit VibrantPowerfulMoms.com.
Yeah, yippee skippy to that, baby. We're not done yet. Some of us are out here to educate and inspire. This year, 2020, is the year we gotta show me the money in the cash flow. I'm Dr. Pat. This is the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By.
Visit thedrpatshow.com.
The vibration of change, that magical place where life shifts from struggle to ease, from stagnation to forward movement, from old ways of being to new ways of becoming. If you're like I am, it can be rather elusive to get there, but when you are in it, you feel it down to your very core, don't you? And it can positively affect everything in your life, from your relationships to your health and well-being, from your career path to your abundance. From the quality of that inner connection to the fullness of your self-expression. On the Christine Upchurch Show, we explore ways to get into that vibration of change with experts in the fields of consciousness, psychology, spirituality, health, healing, and science. Join me, Christine Upchurch, every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on KKNW AM 1150 and Transformation Talk Radio, and learn new ways to step into your vibration of change.
Welcome back. This is Mary Angela McGuire, and you're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. We're talking about the habit of judgment and discerning the difference between the activity of making considered decisions and drawing sensible conclusions versus mindless activity of evaluating everything and everyone around us, including ourselves, and just finding that everything comes up a little bit short. That's the rub, isn't it? That's where we really, I think, get into some kinds of trouble, in a sense, of a habit that gets in the way of our happiness, that blocks our access to our essential self, and can be the cause, even when the stakes are very small and the topic is something fairly inconsequential, can still be a cause of suffering. So first, in this segment, we're going to talk about a strategy that I've found very helpful in trying to come to terms with this habit. And then we're going to talk about why this matters in a deeper sense. So because of my experience with my mom, I suppose, you won't be surprised to hear that I too can be a very judgy driver. So when I started to really take the practice of mindfulness seriously, I used driving as my strategy, as a place where I could really work on it. And it wasn't initially about the judgment, the habit of judgment. I'll get to that in a second. But it was simply that I lived in a fairly small town, so I took short car trips ones maybe 3, 4, or 5 minutes in length through fairly routine streets, so that familiar places that it wasn't difficult to get from point A to point B, which is its own interesting opportunity. And I was alone usually when I was driving. So it was a real opportunity to think about what my mind was doing in the car. Now, a couple of things really came to mind even before the issue of judgment, but I'll certainly get to that. The first was, as I drove from place to place in town and realized that my mind, well, let me back up for a second. In order to do this, use this strategy effectively, one of the things I had to do is, I'm going to get something to drink because I can feel how froggy my throat sounds. My voice. Sorry. I would actually make this a very conscientious practice or a conscious practice. So if I was going to go someplace, as I got into the car, I would say to myself, this is it. You know, this is an opportunity to really practice mindfulness. So as we talked about before, and that strategy like making the bed or something like that, of course, even in this practice, even if it's very intentional, your mind is going to wander. What I noticed first was that my mind tended to wander in a particular way, that the car was a place where I reviewed conversations, I rehearsed conversations, and I revised conversations, right? I was very trapped in both, often in the past, of thinking about a conversation I'd had and figuring out what I'd said incorrectly or why I was offended by what the other person said or whatever it might be. I also used it as a place to kind of rehearse. What was I going to say? And honestly, let's face it, when you do that, it's often for a conversation you're actually never going to have. And then revise the whole, what should I have said? What would have been better? What would have been the more clever retort? So that was the first thing I noticed about where my mind wandered when I was in the car. The second, and of course you can hear that in my example, was the sense of judgment, that everything was positive or negative, but mostly negative, especially when I was in that kind of revise, rehearse, review mode. But then as I learned and began to drop that, if I noticed my mind going there, bringing myself back to the present, my mind goes to the review, I bring myself back to the present. So I tried to become more aware of the exact moment. Well, what's happening in the exact moment? I'm seeing the town, I'm seeing the other drivers, I'm seeing pedestrians, I'm seeing the street. And even here, even before I got to kind of my mother's habit of judging other drivers, I was just plain judging. Right? I couldn't see a tree without saying, that's a beautiful tree. I couldn't see somebody wearing an outfit that maybe I didn't find particularly attractive without not just noticing a person, but evaluating the person's outfit, right? Everything had a judgment to it. And so I want to pause here for a second to talk about that, because I mentioned this early on. When I was on my walk this morning, you know, when it started to rain, what I was happy with was, and that's a judgment I realized, but what I noticed was that I could just be okay with it raining, that I could make a joke about it, but I didn't have to celebrate it. And that's this thing about the habit of judgment. Whether the judgment is positive or negative, it's still in that kind of, you know, we're still sort of trapped in a system of everything I see, I have to pass judgment on. Everything I see, I have to give an evaluation to. And that, whether it's positive or negative, that's the thing I really want to start to notice when I'm practicing this awareness of a habit of mind, when the habit of mind is judgment. It doesn't, can I let go of both the positive and the negative and just be aware? Just bring Jonathan Faust's sense of non-judging awareness to this moment. So then I was also, of course, noticing other drivers. I was very aware, the more I did this, of, you know, the person that pulls out in front of me, right? I heard my mother's voice and tried to say, oh, yeah, here's that voice again. And not to blame my mother, but to say, yeah, here's that habit I have of judging everybody who crosses my path. And then one day I was driving and somebody pulled in front of me at a distance that I thought was too close. And my thought was, I've done that. And it was so exciting, right? Now, I want to be clear about this too. It wasn't, I've done that, I'm in no place to judge, who am I, I'm a bad person, I'm a bad driver sometimes, oh my God, right? That's just more judgment, 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 judgment. Instead, I just thought, oh, I recognize that behavior. I've done that too. And I started to think a little bit about what's happening when we're driving, right? How often is it that we're not really here in the moment, going down this particular street, seeing these particular trees, interacting with cars in this particular moment? But when I'm in the car, what I'm really doing is I'm running errands. I'm picking up the kids at school. I'm going to work, right? If you stopped me on my clock and it was safe and I could say, what is my mind doing and where and how do I feel in my body? I probably feel tense. And what is my mind doing? My mind is already at my destination. My mind is at work. It's dealing with the kids. It's going to the grocery store, right? I'm not here at all. I'm maybe in my case, because it was a small town, a half a mile away or a mile away, but I'm definitely not here in the present. So that's something that I would encourage you to do, is to find a, first of all, do you notice in your own life places where you are in a kind of habitual judgment, just continuous? Maybe it's at work. Are you doing Zoom meetings? Is it hard to see everyone's background when they're in their own homes and not think about, oh gosh, that's, I wouldn't put that painting on my wall, right? Are you there with your colleagues? Is it going out and seeing people in public spaces and being quick to judge how they look, what they wear, what they're eating, like the grocery store, right? Are you the kind of person who stands in line and notices what's in other people's grocery carts and thinks about whether it's good or bad? What are the places in your life that are occasions of a kind of routine and habitual and mindless judging? And it's mindless in the sense that there is no decision you need to make. There's no conclusion you need to draw, right? This is not judging for the purpose of making a decision. This is just judging. And look for that place. Try to choose one, right? And we're not trying to, we can't change our whole lives in one day. But look for one place, one space in your life where you can say, okay, this is really happening a lot in this space, and I'm going to try to bring non-judging awareness to it. And know that it is difficult, that there's a lot to observe about how your mind works when you're in that process, and just give yourself permission to notice. Now, these are, my examples are not in life or death situations, are they? They're pretty routine, they're pretty low stakes, and that's very purposeful because it's a good place to start. When we can build the capacity for non-judging awareness in low stakes settings, it's what's helping us gain the capacity then to do that when the stakes are higher. So that's the strategy that I'd love to see you try to work out in your life. And then now let's talk a little bit more about why it matters, right? What is the harm in that internal process of judging, right? I mean, we're not all my mom in the car with Sister Priscilla, you know, subjecting this 80-year-old nun to our cursing and swearing and complaining about other drivers, right? We're in the privacy of our own minds. But we talked about this a little bit last week, right? You know, our minds are not Las Vegas. What happens in our minds does not actually stay in our minds. It's in our bodies, right? We feel it. When we are in the throes of that kind of relentless judgment, we're feeling it in our bodies. There's probably tension that goes along with it. There's probably a kind of roiling around inside. There are clenched shoulders or clenched fists, right? It's throughout. And how does that affect the people around us, right? Think about the negative space that we're in, the feelings. You know, how does our posture look? What's the expression on our face? It's emanating from us, I think, when we're in that space. So that's a reason to think about that, is that it does have a real impact on us physically. And I think the other thing that happens, and that the reason that the habit is problematic in itself, is that if I'm almost constantly in that habit of judgment, how is it that I can then turn it off so that I can become open, right? If I want to be open to a new experience, if I want to be open to a new person, if I want to be accepting, right, even in situations that are challenging or uncomfortable or difficult, that's very, very difficult to do if my mind is spinning with judgments, right? How can I be accepting of someone who's quite different from me, whose experience is unfamiliar to me, if I can't stop myself from evaluating everything about that person, everything that's coming out of their mouths, right? So if I want to be open and calmer, I have to get a hold of that habit of judgment. The other thing I like to think about and talk about with clients is, when you talk about, or we, I encourage you to think about facing the world with non-judging awareness. I want you to ask yourself, well, how does that feel? And maybe a deeper question is, what am I afraid of something when I think about the possibility of facing the world without that habit of judgment, right? Not separate from the mindful judging that is essential, but really how often does that happen during the course of the day that we need to be making considered decisions? It depends on the kind of work you do, I suppose. But in my case, that's not every minute of every day. So if I want to get rid of that habit, I have to say, is that why am I holding on to it in the first place? And that is, I think, as we get deeper into why are we doing what we're doing, what is the suffering that we think we're actually trying to avoid by this other suffering that we've taken on? So we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about why is it so hard to let go of the habit of judgment. I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and you're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Kimberly Carlson, and I would love for you to tune in to All In Healing Radio, where together we will begin to experience health, happiness, and harmony in all areas and aspects of life. Join us every first Tuesday of the month at 11 a.m. on TransformationTalkRadio.com. All In Healing will help you release layers of negative beliefs and energies for radiant health, deep joy, and greater abundance. Visit me at KimberlyCarlson.com.
Are you your story? Or can you change your story? Can you change what you believe to be true about yourself and your circumstances as part of your healing journey? What if you were to change your expectations? What if you were to invite ease and cooperation into every day and then step back and see what happens? It might just be easier. I'm Megan Edge, and I hope that you'll join me on my new radio show, Playing on the Edge, Radical Change with Ease, with my co-host, Dr. Pat, on Transformation Talk Radio. I look forward to seeing you there.
Want to find out more about Megan Edge? Visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Hey, how's it going? If it's stressful or just plain exhausting, New Light Living is here to ask, is this the way you want to live? Join me, your intuitive spiritual life coach and host, Erica Sullivan, every week on New Light Living. Discover the power of creative tools to start living every day as your ideal dream day. See your life in the new light. To learn more, visit newlightliving.com.
Yeah, yippee skippy to that, baby. We're not done yet. Some of us are out here to educate and inspire. This year, 2020, is the year we gotta show me the money in the cash flow. I'm Dr. Pat. This is the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By.
Visit thedrpatshow.com.
Yeah, yippee skippy to that, baby. We're not done yet. Some of us are out here to educate and inspire. This year, 2020, is the year we gotta show me the money in the cash flow. I'm Dr. Pat. This is the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By.
Visit thedrpatshow.com.
Everyone, welcome back. I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and you're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. Our topic today is the habit of judgment. And as we become students of our own minds, noticing when it is that our mind goes to making judgments in a kind of mindless way, as opposed to conditions where we're drawing sensible conclusions or making considered decisions, but instead are just engaged in an activity of evaluating everything and everyone around us, including ourselves, and oftentimes finding that things don't just quite hit the mark, right? Nothing's ever quite good enough, right, most appropriate, et cetera, et cetera. It's a pernicious habit. It's one that many of us have. And so we're going to end today's segment or today's show with three, I think it is, considerations to think about as you, first of all, notice that you have the habit. Put into practice a strategy for becoming aware of that habit in maybe a particularly low stakes situation so that it's doesn't raise your own defenses about this habit of judgment that you have. But even in a low stakes situation, it's likely to cause some discomfort to start to notice all of the judgments that you make throughout the day. So the question I was asking before our last break was, when I consider the idea of facing the world with non-judging awareness, what gets in my way? Right? What is it that I'm holding on to when I hold on to that capacity for judgment? So I think one thing that might be happening is that we might think that our habit of judgment is keeping us safe, right? If I'm always in a mode of evaluating everything that's crossing my path, then I'm maybe going to believe that I can't be taken advantage of, right? Because I'm on it, right? I'm watching, I'm noticing, I'm assessing, I'm evaluating. And there's, you know, but again, the question is, really, am I always in a situation where I need to develop a considered opinion, right, and draw a sensible conclusion? Or is it just a mindless habit? The other part of that, too, though, is, am I keeping myself safe from myself? So if I'm always judging everything I do, if I'm always, am I in a constant state of self-critique, do I think I'm keeping myself on track, that this is the only thing that keeps me from being a total sloth, is the fact that I'm on my case all the time? And of course, that's one of the points of the whole exercise, and often why people come to work with me in life coaching, is because they are beating themselves up so relentlessly and finding that in the long term, that's not a sustainable habit of mind. It's very damaging, in fact. So, but I think there are other things that come up for us when we think about the possibility of facing the world with a non-judging awareness. And I think one of those, and maybe this is particular to our culture, but if you think about people we think are clever or funny, they're often the people with that sharp, witty takedown, right, of a public figure, or maybe a coworker, maybe a family member, maybe a friend, right, is part of our holding on to that habit of judgment, not wanting to look like a goody two-shoes or a Pollyanna, not wanting to be humorless, right? Is that part of our fear? Is that in our culture, we are so practiced now at taking people apart and doing so, you know, the best ones. It's not just criticizing somebody, but it's being super clever and funny in how you do it. And that sounds like a judgment from me, doesn't it, that people shouldn't do that? I'm actually rather skilled at it myself, so I say it with a lot of humility to say that that has been something that for me, I have valued, I have felt valued by others for it, and so I just want to put that challenge out there, is how much of that is necessary in my everyday life, and what are some of the downsides of that I think we've been talking about. As I said before, you know, the most powerful breakthroughs I've seen my clients have is when they've really noticed how much that negative voice in their head, that judging voice, judging themselves and others and the world in general, is really dominating their thoughts. And I've been particularly aware of it recently when I've been working with clients, but also a friend of mine in particular I've been thinking about, who is a college professor. And so, you know, their worlds have turned upside down, as has the world for students, for those who were not already teaching online. So they, in the middle of a semester, absolutely transform a course, and it's an enormous amount of work. It's very hard on the students. People are really, as they are in so many walks of life, maybe it is every walk of life at this moment, really struggling. The people I know, in this particular case, a friend of mine who's a faculty member. And when she was talking to me about her situation, she said, you know, I've had this one class in particular where the students were kind of needy beforehand, right? They had a million questions. They were, couldn't give them assignment, walk through the assignment. 2 days before the assignment's due, I've got, you know, 10 emails from them, one student in particular wanting to nail down every last bit of the assignment, asking for all kinds of excessivist, in a sense, responses. So now the pandemic comes along. Now she's teaching online. And she finds that students are emailing her at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, 4 o'clock in the morning, right? Throughout the day when they have access to the computer. And she gets that. But the one student in particular who's literally one day sent her 10 emails. Right? So as she's talking to me about this, what I'm noticing is how angry she is, how quick she is to say, what is wrong with this student? This is completely inappropriate. How is she going to survive in the real world when you can't go to your boss and ask 1,000 questions, right? This is outrageous behavior on her part. And I can't answer 10 emails a day, and I'm not going to do it at 7 o'clock at night or, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning, and just on and on. She was so angry. And I think this is part of our judgment process, that sometimes we don't believe we can draw a boundary, we can disagree with someone, we can articulate a disagreement without working up all of this judgment about why they're wrong and we're right. So I came up the other day, I was on a walk in the afternoon with my partner, and there's a place near our house where we cross a bridge, and the traffic part of it for cars is nice and wide, but the two paths along the side are quite narrow. And of course, they have barriers up so the cars don't come hit you. So we had started across the bridge on the narrow path on the right side. And a woman turned onto the bridge from the other end, and she had a dog with her, a pretty good sized dog. So we just kind of hopped over the edge. There's very little traffic, right? Thank goodness. And we continued walking. And as we walked past her, she looked at us and smiled, and she said, oh, the dog wouldn't have gotten you. And so what was my response? Well, I just smiled. I didn't say anything because I'm passive aggressive like everybody is, like so many other people. But what was going on in my mind? It wasn't about the dog. I'm not afraid of the dog. It's that I can't pass you. I can't have any kind of social distance if I'm going to pass you on the bridge, if we're all four on that sidewalk where there's a barrier. Don't you know that? What's wrong with you? You're not wearing a mask. We're not wearing a mask, right? Just the... What was I angry about? Right, I realized, did I think she thought we were foolish for getting off the bridge, or did she think we were afraid of dogs? Was I embarrassed about that? I don't know. Why couldn't I just say to her, why couldn't I just smile at her and say, oh, it's not about the dog. We were just trying to create more social distance. Did I think she would think that was foolish? Right. But again, it's that sense of, I use those judgments, that habit, to let my mind go, to go into that very negative place, yammer, 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 yammer. And part of it, I think, sometimes is to justify my disagreement with someone else. But think about what happens. I mean, in my bridge situation, nothing. But my friend who's teaching, right, she wants to find a calm way to react to students. She doesn't want to react in anger. But if she has to build up all that anger to feel like she can draw a boundary, then of course that's what's going to come across, is that pretty uncomfortable place, right? So that's part of when we think about this habit of judgment, what I'd like you to be thinking about is, where is it happening in your life a lot? What's a easy way, comfortable way to start to get a hold of it, to start to really notice it? And when you're noticing it, you're going to find more discomfort, because you're going to find those places where you really want to hold on to those judgments. Is it so that you can be seen as one of the cool kids? That was my problem. Right? That I'm clever, I'm funny, I'm witty, all of those things. And, you know, thinking about that is really uncomfortable, because where do those judgments come from? Typically from, you know, some pretty ugly places in our culture and our criticisms and stereotypes about other people. But is it deeper than that? Is it my only way to really put a line in the sand and create a boundary? So that's our conversation today, as we become students of our own mind, is to have a deeper understanding of where our mind goes, what those habits of mind are, some strategies to get a hold of those habits, to really have a deeper understanding of them. If you'd like to learn more about my work, you can go to my website, which is maguirelifecoach.com. Maguire spelled M-A-G-U-I-R-E, maguirelifecoach.com. Three deep breaths. Follow that breath. Relax any place you feel tension. Set your intention for the day and be well. Next week, we're going to talk about the question, when can I be happy? I look forward to talking to you next week on Nothing But Now here on Transformation Talk Radio. You've been listening to Nothing But Now, Mindful Living with Dr. Mary Angela Maguire on Transformation Talk Radio. Join me next time as we continue to practice mindfulness and challenge ourselves to change. If you'd like to find out more about my work or contact me, please go to my website, maguirelifecoach.com. That's maguirelifecoach.com. See you next time.
The music for Nothing But Now was created by Salt Theory.